Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and children of all ages, you are now tuned in live to the Prince of Investing, Prince Dykes, coming to you guys and girls live all the way from the beautiful city and state of Denver, Colorado. Don't forget to hit that like, subscribe, comment, and share button. And as always, I don't have a lot of time, and I definitely know you guys and girls don't have a lot of time, so we're going to jump straight into it. Well, this episode is for everybody out there that's new to the world of investing. I get this question asked a million times, you know, at least once a month. I always get somebody that hit the like button, subscribe button, and they always ask me, Prince, I'm new to investing. Where do I start? Prince, I want to learn to invest. How can you teach me? Can you help me? All of the good stuff, right? So, which is great things, great ways to start. I was once that same person. So in this episode, we're going to talk about the different ways you can invest, how to narrow it down, how to niche it, how to build a portfolio that you will like and enjoy for yourself personally by the end of this video, all within 20 to 30 minutes. So the first thing, ladies and gentlemen, you must first look at the ways you can invest. What are the three ways you can invest? When we think about the world of investing, we always think it's so convoluted, it's so tough, it's so hard to do. And the truth is, it's not. You know, you hear about it, people tell you all the time, Prince, I don't know, my buddy told me about an insurance policy, my friend told me about this hot stock, Tesla, my cousin told me they had a friend that invested into Forex, and then I had a cousin that told me they bought these houses and they flipped them or whatnot. I don't know, where should I start? Where should I go? How should I approach the world of investing? And I was once that same person where I had to analyze, where do I start? Where do I go? I want to invest. I have the money to invest. I'm sitting at home. I'm taking in content. What can I do to take advantage of it? So first of all, ladies and gentlemen, let's break down the world of investing into three different sectors. Those three sectors are real estate. As you can see on the screen here, you got real estate, followed by business, and then followed by stocks. You see how easy that was, ladies and gentlemen? Real estate, business, and stocks. Say it with me, real estate, business, and stocks. Now, another one that's there is yourself. How can you invest in yourself? You can get in better shape, something I need to tell myself every day. I tell myself every day, you can always get in better shape, having a better diet, working out more or whatnot, getting rid of alcohol, things like that, investing into your education, whether it's formal education, maybe you're going to school and earning a degree or whatnot, or whatever the case may be, or if you are getting informal education, picking up random books about finances, things like that. Those are the two books, but those are two ways you can educate yourself, right? By educating yourself, one, you're learning something, two, you're making yourself more marketable, right? Because when I went to school, I'm just being 100% honest, when I went to school I got my associate degree, bachelor's degree, and master's degree really just to make myself more marketable. Did I absolutely need it to for what I wanted to do and needed to do? No. I just wanted to make myself better and marketable so after my military career, I can be marketable. So I invested in myself, so I dedicated a lot of time off of work to better myself, right? Just to make myself more marketable. Now, once I completed those, I did a lot of things, you know, I went off and did Series 65, Series 63, life insurance, health insurance, portfolio management, accredited financial counselor, just to name a few, right? Things that I went through really just to hone down and niche into the education that I already had, because you need formal education. Now I'm getting that more technical education. Then on top of that, I read a lot of books. Well, it's not really a lot of books. It's a lot of books for me, for someone who doesn't like to read. Those are the ways you can invest into yourself. So now let's break it down, the three ways you can invest that we previously discussed. The first one being real estate. When we speak about real estate, we're talking about land. We're talking about houses. There are plenty of ways you can do this. You can buy a house. You can buy a duplex, live in one, rent out the other three. You can buy a rental property. You can buy land. Land would appreciate in value, or should appreciate in value. Land appreciates in value. You can buy a house to create cash flow by renting the house out, or you can just buy a house in a good neighborhood and watch the value of the house go up, right? So that's what happens with real estate. Those are pretty much the ways. Now, granted, can you break it down to construction and commercial, residential? Yes, you can go through all of that. And there are plenty of ways you can do that with wholesaling. That's not what this episode is going to be about. I'm bringing this up because to start buying real estate, one of the things you're going to have is you're going to need capital. And you're going to need some wherewithal. You're going to need a lot of capital. Now, some cases you can wholesale, use other people's money, things like that. There are other ways you can get into it, but real estate requires a little bit, as usual, they will require a little bit of capital, right? So, I purchased land before I purchased my home. I purchased a couple of pieces of land, just pure land, nothing spectacular about them. And to buy the land, I had to find the land. I had to pay for the land. I had to wait on the deed to be sent to me, and I had to pay property tax, right? It's not as easy. If I want to buy a piece of land today, it takes a little time if I want to get a good piece of land for a good price, right? Now, the other thing is purchasing a home. If you purchase your first home, I recently purchased my first home a couple months ago, right? When you're purchasing a home, you got to have credit. You have to have a down payment. In most cases, you got to have a down payment. You got to have credit. You got to find a house. It takes a couple months for you to be able to purchase a home. Not a bad deal. Great thing. Real estate. Now think about it with business. If you're brand new to investing, you got to be careful when you do business, because you got two ways you can invest in a business: starting your own or into someone else. Being a brand new investor, I would highly recommend you not invest into someone else's business. That's a mistake I made in the past, right? Because when you look at shows like Shark Tank, when you watch TV shows like Venture Capitalist and Something Venture, great documentary, by the way, those are people who are at the higher level of investing. You work your way up to that point. On Shark Tank, they can give someone $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000. If it doesn't work out, they can just, it didn't work out. They can go ahead on to something else. A lot of those guys could be making $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 per week just for doing that show. So they can invest their money back into people and American Dream, things like that. Being a brand new investor, would not recommend investing into someone else's business until you get to a certain level. Now, building your own. You can start your own business. Maybe you have a niche. Maybe you're a YouTuber. Maybe you could be a podcaster. Maybe you could be a Facebooker, whatever the case may be. Business. You can start your own business. By starting your own business, you create an LLC, an S-Corp, C-Corp, depending on your situation. I will refer you to consult with someone to help you out with starting a business. Once you create your entity, let's say you create an LLC, now you're going to get your EIN, which is pretty much your social security number for your business. Now you have your social security number for your business. Now you're going to turn around and create a bank account. Now that you have a bank account, depending on your business, you might be able to qualify for a business line of credit or whatnot, or whatever the case may be. But you're going to need some money, some working capital is what it's called, to get your business started. For prime example, if you want to write a book, it's going to cost you some money to be able to self-publish your book if you want to self-publish. If you want to create a clothing line, you got to be able to design the clothes. You got to be able to buy the clothes. You got to be able to print the stuff on the clothes if that's what you're doing. So you're going to need some working capital to start, right? And it's not something that's going to happen overnight. It takes a little while to start a business, maybe a month or two, to get it up and running. Now, a website cost. So you're going to need some type of working capital before you even start to see a profit or return anything. Marketing, all of this stuff. Great, you create your product, but now you got to be able to market your product. So those are some of the pitfalls, not pitfalls, but some of the things you have to work through when starting a business. Now, number three, stocks. Stocks, compared to starting a business and compared to real estate, stocks is one of the easiest ones to get into. How you can get into stocks is easy. You can start an E-Trade account, a brokerage account, which can be done with E-Trade, TD Ameritrade, Charles Schwab, or Robinhood. Those are the simple ones that are out there. I'm not endorsing one or whatnot. You need a broker of some sort, someone who's going to be able to buy and sell the stock for you. Let's say if you went and created a TD Ameritrade account. You go in. You can create a Roth IRA. If you have an account, you can create a Roth IRA, or you can create an individual brokerage account, or a regular, you can't start a regular IRA, 401k, that's with your job. So you can create a Roth IRA, which is an individual retirement account, money that you've already been taxed on, that you're going to put in to be able to invest for the future. this is good because your money can grow tax-free, right? Right now, it's limited to $6,000 for 2020. So you can start a Roth IRA right now today. Doesn't really require TD Ameritrade. Doesn't really require no minimum. Versus an E-Trade account, I think it's $500. They want you to have it at a minimum within the first 60 days or something like that, right? So with under $1,000 today, you can start a Roth IRA if you don't have one, or you can start an individual brokerage account. Now, once you have that brokerage account, you may start with a small amount of money because you don't know what you're doing, right? Now, granted, inside of the stock world, you have different entities inside of the stock world. You have Forex trading, which is foreign exchange trading. You have stocks trading. And then you have something like insurance products. I like to call them a hybrid insurance product where you can invest in by paying your insurance, you also invest into the stock market. Those are all big things you can invest into, right? Now, with that being said, when you are investing, with that being said, let's say if you decide to choose stocks. You start a brokerage account. Once you have that brokerage account, now what you're going to do, you have to fund the account. You got to put money into the account. You'll link the account. You put the money into your brokerage account in order to be able to start investing. This is where things get tricky. This is what everybody's always talking about. They're always talking about Prince, you got me turned on to E-Trade or whatever, TD Ameritrade, Scottrade. I want to buy stocks. I went out. I created my stocks. Now, what do I buy? Now, you got to think about it. Ladies and gentlemen, I always tell people, don't buy stocks. Build a portfolio. So later on in the show, we're going to talk about exactly that. Building a portfolio, start to finish, that fits your needs. A lot of people don't like that, right? A lot of people don't like being told, hey, get a portfolio that fits your needs. Now, the second thing is, now that you have that portfolio, now you got to ask yourself, what is it that I know? What I mean by what do you know? Maybe you're a school teacher and you know school supplies. Maybe you are a doctor and you know other companies in the healthcare field. Maybe you work somewhere in telecommunications. You know telecommunications exceptionally well. Maybe you work in retail. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to give you the 11 sectors. Hope I got all 11 of them. Sectors of the stock market. You have energy. You got materials, industrial, consumer discretionary, consumer staples, healthcare, financials, information technology, telecommunication, utilities, real estate. Yes, you can invest in the real estate on stocks too with REITs and things like that. So if you feel like you know one of these sectors better, maybe you served in the military and you know energy very well. Maybe you work in the financial industry. You know a lot about banks and what banks are good or whatnot. Maybe you know healthcare very well and you can invest in the healthcare. Maybe you was a doctor, right? So when you look at all those things, you have to be very, very, very careful, right? So now what you're looking at with breaking it down, now you got to ask yourself, those are the things you call edge. Now, to make it simple, what's some of the simple ways you can start investing already? One of the simple ways you can start investing already, once you have it, one thing you could make it simple with you investing already, you can already have what you need, right? So now what we're going to do, we're going to take a break and we're going to come back. After this break, we're going to come down and we're going to break down the whole investing, building your own portfolio for your own success, top to bottom. So we're going to take a quick commercial break and we'll be right back.
Aloha, I'm Krista Stadler, the host of Nonprofits Mean Business 2 on ThinkTech Hawaii. Nonprofits Mean Business 2 investigates the operational challenges and costs related to managing nonprofit organizations, while encouraging our viewers to find a nonprofit organization that you're passionate about in our community. We are streamed live on ThinkTech Hawaii bi-weekly at 12 p.m. on Thursdays. Thank you so much for watching our show. We look forward to seeing you then. Mahalo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and children, we are now back with the Prince of Investing, coming to you guys and girls live, all the way from a beautiful city and state of Denver, Colorado. Now, what we spoke about before the break, we was talking about the different ways you can invest, how to invest. We talked about you can invest in real estate. We broke down going into real estate, business, and now we're into stocks. Now we're getting down to the good stuff, how to build a portfolio for a brand new investor. So the first thing, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to be a professional, if someone was to sit down with me and say, hey, Prince, man, I want to build a portfolio. I want to make some money. What are we doing? Where are we going? Whatever the case may be. First thing I'm going to ask is, okay, so where are we going? Is this long-term or short-term? Are you trying to build up money to send your kid to college next year? Are you trying to build up money to send your kids to college in 10 years? Drastic difference. Now, the reason why that is so important, because the person who's trying to send the college, kids to college next year, they may not want to go out and buy them Facebook stock because, you know, Facebook could be down within a year. Not a very smart thing to do, right? So they may be turned on to something like a bond, maybe something like a bond. They say, hey, I have money sitting in the savings account, whatever the case may be. So first of all, how long are we going? What is the time horizon? Time horizon, 6 months, 1 year, 3 years, 5 months, 10 years, whatever the case may be. Now, the second thing I'm going to ask you, how much money do you have? You have $200, $300, $500, $100 a month, $25 a second? I don't know. Whatever you have, right? So now, why is that important? Because depending on how much money you have, that can change the whole, what can you afford? But right now, if you only have $1,000, not only have $1,000, but if you have $1,000, you can't afford Amazon stock, right? But if you have $10,000, then yes, you can. Maybe you only have $500, right? So it depends on how much money do you have, because that's going to decide where can money be placed or whatnot. If you have big money, so you're talking about a $250,000 and up, now you might be concerned about taxes or trust, things like that. It all depends on how much money you're talking about starting with. So first thing is, how long, what is your time horizon? Is it 1 year, 10 years, 5 years, whatever the case may be? Hopefully it's more than 5 years, because if you're going to get into stocks, I would say at least something you can hold for 5 years. The third thing I'm going to ask you, are we here to make money or to grow money? What do you mean by that, Prince? Are you someone, I'm investing to create a cash flow, or I'm investing to grow my money? So am I investing this money to pay my mortgage next month, or am I investing this money for growth for the future? That's why I'm not asking that question, Prince. So why does that matter? The reason why that matters, and the reason why that is so important, because when you are investing for your future, when you're investing for your future, if I'm looking to make money, now I could be looking at dividend paying stocks, or I could be a day trader, or I could be maybe an option trader because I'm trying to make money this week right now, right? I'm trying to create cash flow for my account. Versus if I'm someone who's trying to grow money, I may look into a buy hold strategy, right? A buy hold strategy is someone who's going to look at the fundamentals. They're going to buy it, hold it for a long period of time. Versus someone who is a who's looking to earn money, they're more of a technical analyst. They're looking to, I want this stock to go up 1% tomorrow so I can sell it, earn 1%. So no, am I here to make money or am I here to grow money, right? Two different things. How long do we have? How much money do we have? Are we here to make or grow money? The fourth thing we need to know is, where are we going? How much money do you need for retirement, right? You say, hey, well, I'm a military guy. I retire from the military and I earn $50,000 a year from the military. And I want to make $100,000 a year in retirement. You say, okay, well, if you're earning $50,000, you need to be able to have, how much money do I need to be able to have set to the side to make, to generate me $50,000 a year? Cool. All right. So when do you want to retire? I'm 35 years old and I want to retire at the age of 55. When I hit 55, I'm done. So I said, okay, cool. So if you want 50, if you need to generate $50,000 a year, I should have already had done the math for this, but let's say if you want to generate $50,000 a year in 20 years, how much money do I need? You can put that into a financial calculator. That number may come out to be $500,000. You may need, with $500,000 growing at 3%, you can draw $50,000 for how much time? So for prime example, I'm 35 years old. I want to make $50,000 a year. And I want to do this in 20 years. So I have 20 years to accumulate from 35 to 55. 35 to 55 accumulation phase. From 55, and let's say if I plan to live to 85. From 55 to 85, that's 30 years. So I have 20 years to accumulate, 30 years to live off my retirement. How much money do I need to be able to draw $50,000 a year for 30 years? It might be $1 million. So I need to have $1 million in 20 years, right? How much money am I willing to invest today? You may say, well, I only can invest, or I have $500 a month. I can invest $500 a month, and I needed to get to $1 million within 20 years. By looking at that, I can look and see this person is going to need to earn 8% return on investment. I'm hypothetically speaking. I don't want anybody in the comments saying, no, that's actually this. We're hypothetically speaking. So I want you to get the thought process. How much time do I have to accumulate? I have 20 years, 5 years, 10 years. I have 20 years to accumulate. What number am I trying to get to? I want to get to $1 million. When I create this $1 million nest egg, I want to be able to put it in something that's pretty conservative that earns me 3%, but pays me annually until I'm 50, I'm 85 years old for 30 years, right? Now I can look at that and say, investing $500 a month, we need to earn 8% per year, right? Now you know, okay, cool. I need to invest $500 a month. I need to earn 8% a year in order to get to $1 million in 20 years. You know, so now you know that number, let's hypothetically type in that number into my financial calculator that I have here. Let's turn it on. You're going to go to your payments. Let's say if you're investing $500 a month, right? Hypothetically speaking, $500 a month times 12. There you go. You're going to have to, that's about $6,000. Yep, that's $6,000. So $6,000 a month is what you are, is what your payments. That's what your payments are. You start with zero today, and you're going to go to, let's say if you did this, you earn 8%, you did this for 20 years, what would be the future value? You would have $275,000 if you invested $500 a month for, well, $6,000 a year for 20 years and earned 8%. You had $275,000, right? Whatever that number is, now you know, okay, well, either I'm going to have to invest more money or I'm going to have to get crazy risk, right? Now you got to make sure you're not talking crazy. You're like, oh, if I get 50% a year, and that's, come on, it's, now you're kind of being unrealistic. Just be more realistic of what you really can earn. The stock market earns somewhere between 7 to 10% a year. So be mindful of where you're at. So now we know how long you have. We know your time horizon, how long you have. We know how much money you have. We know that you're trying to grow money or make money. Let's say if you're trying to grow. Now we know the number you need to get to. You need to get to $1 million. I can reverse engineer and say you need to earn 8 to 10% a year, right? Now let's try to build a portfolio around it. Now, when you build that portfolio, I'm going to automatically tell you 70%, I believe, should go into a major index fund. Whether it's the NASDAQ, NASDAQ has a hot hand right now. S&P 500, or your or the Dow Jones, right? You put your money into the Dow Jones, 70%, you get an index fund. Boom, you got your index fund going, you're making return on investment. On average, the index fund is going to make you that 7 to 10% a year minimum, right? 90% of investors cannot beat the index on a consistent basis. So now that you have the index fund, now ask yourself the question, 20%, I want you to look into things you have an edge on. Maybe you're very into fashion. I'm not a very big fashion guy, but I have friends that are fashion people, right? And they want to invest into things like Gap and things like, because they know the companies. So what is it that you have an edge on? You may have an edge on clothing, right? If you do have an edge on clothing, what are you going to do? You may find a company. You may know Apple. You may know Tesla, whatever the case may be. 20% of your portfolio, if you have $1,000, $700 should go to index, $20 is hypothetically speaking, and of course it's going to change for everybody, depending on your risk level. You got to understand risk level. That's very important that I didn't mention earlier, knowing your risk level. 20% is going to go to things that you know very well, or maybe you have an edge on. You may know, I really like Facebook, I really like Apple, I really like tech companies or whatnot. And then your top 10%, this is 70% going to index, 20% going to things you feel like you have an edge on, 10% going to things like that may be a high-risk gamble. Prince, what are things considered a high-risk gamble? Like for me, for prime example, high-risk gamble is Uber, buying call options, buying option trading, unprofitable companies, new unprofitable companies like Uber, cryptocurrencies, right? Why do I say cryptocurrencies? Because we know cryptocurrencies, they have a lot of growing pains, as you can see what Uber is going through or whatnot. So cryptocurrencies, Forex trading, cryptocurrencies, everything that's a little risky that's not as proven, this is what I would put my 10% in. My other $100, put it there or whatnot, and if it works out for you. If it doesn't work out for you, right? So if it does go wrong, you'll be all right. So the companies you have an edge on, I will only pick profitable companies that are leading the industry, the sector. So for prime example, let's look at technology. We all know the biggest technology company in the world is Apple, followed by, I think it's probably Microsoft. I don't know the whole list, but Apple just hit $2 trillion. So I want you to be big within the top five of your sector. If you're not within the top five of your sector, let's say if I'm interested in the clothing company and finances, JP Morgan is at the top, followed by Bank of America, followed by Wells Fargo. If I'm investing into a small company, I have to break up into finances and see, why should I give the small company a chance over the big companies? They may have a competitive advantage. They may know something that I don't know, maybe, you know, whatever, right? So those are the ways you got to look at it, right? So let's go what we talked about today. We talked about building that portfolio, asking yourself how long, if you're investing in stocks, at least 5 years, right? How long? Is this something I'm trying to do next year or within the next 10 years? How much money do I have? Is it $100 a month, $200 a month? Or I got a life insurance policy and I only have $5,000. Is it one lump sum? Where are we trying to grow money or make money? Are we trying to make this money utilize the magic of compounding interest? Or we're trying to make money to be able to pay our bills next month? Number four, where are we going? How much money do we need? We know, hey, I need $250,000. I need $500,000 in order to receive this much from retirement, whatever the case may be. Now, once you know those things, you can build a portfolio. Knowing that I have 5 years, I'm going to look into maybe stocks. Maybe it has a high growth potential. Maybe a technology company, right? Now we got the index. Now we're going to look at the 11 sectors that we spoke about. We spoke about energy, materials, industrial, consumer discretionaries, consumer staples, healthcare, finances, information technology, technology service, utilities, and real estate. If you feel like you got an edge on some of those, if you know some of those companies very well, you trust them very well, no more than 20%. 20% goes there. This is in the concept of a core satellite portfolio strategy, meaning you have a core. The core is your index, but you have a satellite that roams out, your 20%, your edge thing that roams out and grab things that you may see opportunities in that the market may, you buy momentum. Maybe Tesla caught the momentum. Maybe you ride the momentum wave for Tesla or Facebook or Amazon, right? So it could be a momentum play. The other thing is, Prince, all my friends tell me about Forex, and you understand Forex, 90-something percent of Forex and day traders are losers. They lose. They will win some, but they will lose over time. So knowing that, it's more of a gamble. Maybe you might have a special hand, but every now and then you may want to jump into it. Don't use no more than 10% of your portfolio, right? Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to conclude today's episode. I want to say thank you, and thank you for tuning in to today's episode and to the next video, podcast, cartoon, or whatever else crazy you see me doing around the globe. Peace, be safe. I'm out, and thank you.